She was desperate because she had no money to feed her daughter, and Yancy's friend wasn't sure how to help her. So he asked her, "Have you ever tried church?" "Church?" she cried. "Why would I ever go there? I was already feeling terrible about myself. They'd just make me feel worse." And Yancy reflects how strange it is that people like this woman were so drawn to Jesus when he was walking the earth, and yet they don't feel that they'd be welcome among his followers. And maybe there's some of us even who are Christians who seem to have a similar idea about church. Why would I want to go there? And yet, church is the one community that in its very nature is only and completely about grace. It costs nothing to belong. It's open to absolutely everybody. It's a community that's formed by the undeserved love of God, filled with his Spirit. The words spoken by Jesus to Peter in our key verse today point us to four reasons why it's important that we do indeed bother with our local church. "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." So the first reason to bother with church, as stated above, is because it's the place where we find grace. You are Peter, and on this rock, Peter, Greek for rock, I will build my church. Well, how do those words, "on this rock," show us that if you want to find grace, you'll find it in the local church? Some people might think that Jesus is being ironic here. Simon, Peter, Simon, so shaky, who's going to deny Jesus three times? Continually in the gospel accounts, every time he's mentioned, he opens his mouth, he puts his foot in it. He's renamed here Peter, the rock. But it's not irony. Jesus sees who Peter can be when he's filled with God's Spirit. He says this in the context of Simon's answer to Jesus' question when he asked him, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter recognized, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And it's this expression of faith in Jesus as the one not just sent by God to save his people, prophesied in the Old Testament, but the actual Son of the living God. That's what matters. It doesn't matter how unworthy Peter was when he made that confession. The church is founded on God's undeserved love for and revelation to and calling of Peter. But why Peter? Well, Peter would deny Jesus in the courtyard, but he was there. He is the apostle who was always at Jesus' side. Historically, he was the one, after Jesus had risen at Pentecost, who explained the meaning of the pouring out of God's Spirit on the believers. So listening to Peter, the God-fearers from all nations turned in repentance to Jesus as the Christ. That was the beginning of the church. And in Acts 11, Peter is the one who receives the vision from God to obediently welcome Gentiles as equally belonging to this new assembly of God's people that Christ calls to himself. Then in Acts 15, Peter is the one who explains to the other apostles. He says in Acts 15:8, "God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted the Gentiles by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. God made no distinction between us and them. We believe it's through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved, just as they are." And the other apostles at the time recognized that God was speaking through Peter. That was God's will about who was to be accepted as members of this new people, the church. So Peter is the first among equals of the apostles who gave the apostolic teaching about Jesus being the Christ, the Son of the living God, that the church was built on and continues to be built on. Ephesians 2:19, we had read to us, explains that it's by grace that all who trust in Christ are now equally members of this new community, that's built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Because what the prophets pointed to about Christ in the whole of the Old Testament, the apostles made clear in the New. And that's why every week in church, the teaching of the whole Bible is central to any church gathering, and how the foundational rock on which the church is built can be referred to in Scripture as Peter, the apostles and the prophets, and Christ himself. Because it's Christ, as the whole Bible reveals him, who is the chief cornerstone of our new community of grace. So the church is a community of grace. Jesus sees the true Peter behind that shaky Simon, the Peter who trusts his Lord, the Peter who will be martyred for his faith, the same Peter who denied Jesus three times, was commissioned by Jesus three times to care for and feed his sheep. And then that same Peter was strengthened and transformed by the work of God's Spirit within him to speak God's mind, God's will, for Jesus' new community to be inclusive of all, Jews, Samaritans, and Gentiles, all worshipping together. So are we? Are we a community of grace? It's so wonderful when we hear stories of how people find a grace-filled community when they walk among us. Stories of people who accept and walk alongside people who feel that they've failed, that they've let their Lord down, so that like Peter, they can find new hope and the strength to remain faithful in their faith in Jesus to the end of their lives. But how can we ensure that everybody who walks in to join us feels that they're truly welcome, not just as a visitor, but that they can really belong equally with, on exactly the same foundation as everybody else? Because it's through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, that we're saved into being part of this community. Who do you talk with after the service? What do you say? What words of grace might help somebody feel welcome today? And Jesus is not just the cornerstone setting the direction for the building, he's also the builder. That's the second reason given in this verse why we bother with church. I will build, Jesus says. Church matters because it's where God is at work building his masterpiece according to his master plan, transforming us all into the image of his Son, the image of Jesus, the Son of the living God. He promises, I will build. If we want to be transformed into God's master building, then we need to belong here together, gather together. I will build. What encouragement. It doesn't rely on us. It's God's work. Adapting what Nate said last week, it's what Christ has done that makes us church, not what we do. And it's what Christ continues to do in us and among us, making us a holy people who can reflect him to the world. But that's a challenge too, isn't it? No one else can build the church, only Jesus. It would be completely in vain for us to try to build the church. It's the work of the Spirit of Christ among us. What we can do is ensure that we're cooperating with God's building plan as our local expression of reconciled relationships here, centered around Christ, being those who forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. Because the master plan that God is building is a holy temple. Now, Herod's temple in the time of Christ was certainly magnificent. Christ's temple is different. In Herod's temple, there was a dividing wall between the outer court where the Gentiles could go and the temple where only Jews could go to worship God. And on that wall, there were huge no entry signs that read, no foreigner is allowed past this point on a penalty of death. You can see one of those in the museum in Turkey. Ephesians 2 that we had read tells us, But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, that dividing wall of hostility. So now all are welcome. None are excluded. Jesus got rid of that barrier at the cost of his own life. His purpose, Ephesians 2, was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross. For through him we both have access to the one Father by the Spirit. So the amazing truth is, it's not just that Gentiles can now get over that wall and enter the Jewish temple to join in worshiping God, but by his death on the cross for everybody, everyone who accepts what Christ has done, as they gather together, we are the new temple. Together, we're his body, where God's Spirit lives among us on the earth. Ephesians 2:22, and in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Of course, it's true that the Spirit lives in us individually when we accept Christ into our life. But in an even greater way, it's true that when we gather, our triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, is among us doing his work in a special way, building his masterpiece. Right here, right now, today, as we worship together, he's keeping his promise to build his masterpiece out of us. So if we want God to make something out of us, this is where we need to be. Worshipping together in the local gathering, allowing him to build his church. Of course, the building is a picture. It's a metaphorical description of us as a gathering of people. If we think of the church as a building, we've got the metaphor upside down. The building's the picture, the reality's the people. We are the church. We don't go to church, we are the church. And it's through our reconciled relationship to Christ and each other that Jesus can be seen among us by his Spirit. The transformational building work of God is seen as we don't give up on each other, but we continue in relationship with, forgiving each other. That's when God is at work, making us his holy people. Holy means that all our sin needs to be confessed and got rid of. Everything that's displeasing to God, everything that's causing divisions. There needs to be a constant forgiving of each other. It would be so easy to give up on each other. We're a pretty random bunch of people. To stop coming to church when we hear that someone's gossiped about us, or shared something with others that was told in confidence, or has failed to show us the love that we were hoping for, to visit us in our need. But when we stay together, when we continue not at a distance, but trying to understand each other, forgiving each other, that's when God does his work. God cannot build a masterpiece with us if we're no longer around. We need to gather. That's the starting point. And then we need to love each other with all our quirks and our failures, because Jesus has promised to build us into his holy people. And that brings us to the third reason why we need to bother with the local church, because Jesus is the one who calls us together. He says, it's my church. I will build my church. The gathering belongs to him, and all who belong to him belong to it. And all who are looking for Jesus will find him here. So the church isn't just another group like some of the other wonderful groups that we have in this area to go along to. Rather, the church is the living body of Christ, gathered and formed by the actual work of the triune God in our midst. And it's only because of Jesus' presence among us that we can offer anything of hope to a broken world. Of ourselves, what do we showcase? Just brokenness. Any healing that takes place, any act of sacrificial love, of forgiving one another, it only happens because Jesus is here among us. The amazing thing is that Jesus stays with us. His church is still his primary means of offering a community of grace where he can be known in this world, even though tragically the church, we confess, has sometimes been the place where traumatization has occurred. How can that be? Why doesn't God just give up and move on to a better idea? We're a mixed gathering. It includes those who are weeds, not wheat, those who are wolves in sheep's clothing. Why? Why would God persist? Who can blame those who depart in despair? But God doesn't. He doesn't depart in despair at us. He persists with his people gathered in a local place to worship him as the place where he can be known. The local church belongs to Jesus. If you want to be where Jesus is, join the local church. We're his. We are in constant need of the work of his Spirit among us to transform us, to reflect his love more faithfully, to be the place where forgiveness and reconciliation happens, where pain can be absorbed among us in a community of loving relationships reflecting the triune God, where everyone can come and discover that they're deeply loved by God, his treasured possession, that he wants them to find a welcome home among his family. The risen Christ had some hard words for the seven churches in Revelation as they lost their first love or went astray. Yet still, his presence, symbolized by the lampstand, was in their midst. Maybe you've heard people say they don't need to be part of the church to be a Christian. Perhaps they feel the people at their local church aren't their kind of people. The activities of the people gathered are boring. They sing boring songs, not here. They have to sit and listen to someone speaking at them rather than being able to contribute, maybe. So why would they bother to go there? Has anyone here ever felt like that, I wonder? But that's to misunderstand church. Church isn't a building with a Sunday event that you can choose to go along to or not according to how you feel. Church is the family gathering where all who belong to Jesus belong equally. Some of you know that Terry and I have just returned from England, where we gathered to celebrate our family. 9 of us came from Australia, 3 from Nigeria, 3 from South Africa, 1 from France, 2 from Slovenia, and 1 adopted in from Italy, and another 30 from all over the UK. The travel was pretty uncomfortable. It was costly in time and money. The little babies didn't sleep much, were a bit sick. But there was no way I was going to stay away from that. I wanted to be with my family. What a privilege to belong to this family of people I love so much, to have time together, young and old, to share stories, hear from each other, to meet after a long time away, remember my dad on his 100th birthday and the heritage he left us. Well, how much more reason do we have to gather as family around Jesus? How much more to celebrate? He's the reason we gather. How great not just to remember him and his words, but to have him among us here now. What a privilege that we can gather each week. How amazing that wherever we go in the world, we can find a local expression of Jesus' family where we belong. But this truth also holds that great challenge for us. Our gathering needs to be inclusive of all. Church can't just be a small group in someone's home, because all of us must be able to come. No one can be left out. There can be no divisions of ethnicity, nationality, politics, wealth, education, gender, ability, or any other kind, because we're all one family, made into one body by one Spirit. Does anyone feel that they don't belong among us? That's a travesty. How well do we welcome our most recent family members, those who feel different, those who aren't part of the family yet but want to get to know Jesus? How much do we go out of our way to ensure we don't make it difficult, for example, for people with disability, for those struggling with mental ill health, for those who don't seem to quite fit into any group, for a person, young or old, who often seems to be on their own? Have we asked? Do we know if anyone feels on the outer? What action can we take to ensure that all feel equally that they truly belong? Or in reality, do only some feel they belong, while others feel that they just visit and remain on the edge? What can we do to ensure all truly belong? Because it's not up to someone else. It's up to us. This is Christ's gathering, and all who belong to him belong here equally. So our final fourth reason to bother with church is because the church is God's diamond, and diamonds are forever. The gate of Hades, that's death, will not overcome the church. Church is actually the one community in the world that we'll be part of for all eternity. Our marriage, our family, our work, even our ministry, it all ends at death. They're not eternal, but church is. The gates of Hades will not overcome it, because however weak we think the church is undefeatable. It's actually the way that God has chosen to accomplish his purpose to bless all nations. It's through the church that God shows his manifold wisdom, in the same way that many facets of a diamond reflect and enhance its beauty. So the many local expressions of church across the world and through the ages, where all are one in Christ, reveal God's wisdom, power, and glory, not just to the world, but to all the heavenly powers. Ephesians 3 says, God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purposes, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. To God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Death will not overcome the church. When Jesus spoke those words, he knew he'd soon be killed, the church would be persecuted, but he also knew that his death would bring the church into being, and that the suffering and death of faithful witnesses would cause its growth. The church still grows in parts of the world where there's great persecution today, even in Jordan. The church will not be overcome by death. The church is the way God reveals his glory and wisdom to all the powers of heaven and earth. What we see as frail, sinful, weak, even pathetic, embarrassing, God sees as his eternal jewel and will never give up on us. He builds us to be the worshiping missional center from which he can send out members with the gospel to plant new local expressions of church across the world until he comes again. How could we not be a part of that? Are we displaying God's wisdom and his glory? Are we sending each other out to reach our community and the world, allowing God to continue his mission and build his church through us? Church is awesome. As we gather this morning, God's at work among us by his Spirit. This is the purpose for which he brings us together. It's what his Spirit is doing here week by week, causing us to become his dwelling place where others from our community might meet with God. If that's what the local church is about, don't we want to be a part of it? Why would we stay away and miss out on God's work among us for his glory? Why bother with church? Because church is a community of grace where all who belong to Jesus belong equally, where our triune God is always at work building his holy people, his masterpiece, which showcases his wisdom and glory to all the powers eternally. Amen.